Let's pray. Father God, thank you that we can sit before you now and wait upon you now, Lord God. Wait to hear from you through your word, Father. Lord, we, your people, are in desperate need of you, O God. For every breath we take, for every moment of life, for all eternity, O Lord God, we are in desperate need of you. Father, we, your people, now gather and we come before you, acknowledging that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that you are the sovereign God. You are the source of all life and all that is good. And so we come to you, Almighty God. So you open your word now, Father God. Would you work in us to continue to shape and form us and our character and our thinking and our souls and our lives, Father God, to orient us to Jesus. That we would be the people you have created us to be and have called us to be, O Lord God. That we would be faithful to you, O Lord God. So, Father, would you work now by your Spirit? We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'm not typically a New Year's resolution type of a person. I'm not exactly sure why. I just know not sort of in my nature. But I think New Year's resolutions are completely fine. I think they're wonderful. I think that God has ordered things in the seasons and in our lives and in our culture in such a way that there are natural cycles to things. And we can use those cycles wonderfully for our blessing and for His glory. You know, in ancient Israel, you know, a lot of times the way that their festivals were structured was around the seasons. So it would be around the growing seasons when they would have their festivals. And so just the natural cycle of their life kind of flowed throughout the year in a cyclical kind of way. And for us, you know, there's a new start in January 1st, a new year. Things are new. I mean, it's a little bit arbitrary, right? I mean, it's still the middle of winter, though you never would have known it yesterday. But it's still the middle of winter, and, you know, and nothing changes. But it's something changes, and it's a new start. And I think it is a good time to think and to reassess and to plan and to pray and seek God on what He would have for us and is there any changes He would have for us and where is He leading us? I think that's all wonderful to do that. And even though it's January 8th now, it's still okay. It's not too late. As I personally reflected on the new year, you know, one thing I really want this year is I want to grow in the Lord. That's not a new goal, not a new thing, but I want to grow in the Lord this year. I want to grow closer to Jesus this year. I want to know Him more. I want to obey Him more. I want to love Him more, worship Him more, and relate with Him more. So I want this year. I want closeness to God. I want conformity to God, holiness, righteousness in me. So that's just prompted me to take one sermon now here and kind of at the beginning of the year and just look at the scriptures on one really main way that I believe God has ordered and organized and created for us to grow in Him and grow in likeness to Him. Beginning next week, we'll start a new sermon series on the book of Zechariah. It's an Old Testament minor prophet. He has some pretty fantastic prophecies and visions that he has there. So it's going to be some interesting times of studying that and understanding what his visions mean. It's one of the most often, even though it's a short book, it's the longest of the minor prophets, but it's one of the most quoted books in the New Testament. Either quoted directly or alluded to over 75 times, significantly in the Gospels and in Revelation, one of the most quoted Old Testament books in the book of Revelation. So I encourage you to be reading that this week, reading Zechariah this week. and to be over the next few months here to be reading through that and studying that together. And we'll talk next week about what's different about the book of Zechariah. It falls into a slightly unusual time period in the history of Israel, one that we don't talk a lot about, though we've been talking quite a bit about it recently on Wednesday evenings as we're going through the Bible. Again, invite you to come Wednesday evenings at 6:30 to 7:30 for a Wednesday evening service where we're doing one book of the Bible every week. It's kind of going through and doing an overview of that book. I invite you to come to that. So would you please open your Bibles this morning with me as we turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, the big one. And we are going to study this morning verses 9 through 16. As we look at the question, and he's going to pose it right in the very first part of verse 9 here. How do we grow in likeness to God, holiness, blamelessness, righteousness, purity? Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. This is God's word. Psalm 119 is a very long psalm, and it's all dedicated to the Bible. And the psalmist's love of God and love of the Bible. And those two go so tightly together. It's not worshiping the Bible, it's worshiping God. But in the Scriptures, God and His Word are so connected. We really don't try to rip those two things apart. Okay? And this passage here, it is written as if, it's written like Proverbs, like wisdom literature. That's the style of this psalm. Not so much a psalm of praise, or a psalm of thanksgiving, or a psalm of lament. It's a wisdom psalm, just like you see in Proverbs. And so it's like a teacher, a wise teacher, instructing youth. Whether it's youth in age, or youth in life experience, youth in the Lord, we always fall into this category. No matter how old we are, we still always have some who can teach us. Okay? And that's the way this is instructed. This is formed and shaped here in this passage. It's a wise teacher instructing a disciple, a follower, and someone who wants to grow. It's like I said, I want to do this year. And it really summarizes this section of Psalm 119 in the first verse, in verse 9 there. Poses the question, answers it in summary form. How can a young man keep his way pure? How can we be holy? How can we stay with God, walk with God, be with God, keep sin out of our lives, that we are with the Lord? And the summary answer at the second part of verse 9 is, by living according to your word. And now, the wise teacher, the psalmist here, is going to go on and from his own life, explain and elaborate on what does that look like? What does that mean? How does he go about living by God's word? All to answer the question, how can we be pure? How can we be holy? How can we be walking with God? Those are synonym terms there. And he goes through a number of ways, and they're all pretty quick, but there's a number of ways that he lays out in this passage. First, how can we be pure? How can we be holy? How can we be walking with God? Verse 10, seek God earnestly. Verse 1, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. There's a prayer wrapped up in there too. Seeking God earnestly. So the psalmist, the the wise teacher, the one who is mature in the Lord, is saying to us now, seek God earnestly. This is what he does. This is how he is pure, how he follows God's word, is he seeks God earnestly. It is a heartfelt a passion within the psalmist here to seek God. Not once, not twice, but 1,000 times a day, constantly, throughout the day, throughout the night, that God is the one he's zealous for. God is what he's searching after. God is what he's working on. Not his wealth, not his name, not his power, not his position, not his grades. It's God that he's working on. And it is earnestly, eagerly, strongly, with a real heartfelt, gut-felt desire. He is seeking after God. This great desire here of saying, don't let me stray from your commands, O God. I seek you earnestly. Second, how to be pure. Verse 11 says that we live in and from and out of God's Word. That God's Word is within us, and it is from that that we live, that we make our decisions, that we behave, that we think, that we talk. Verse 11 describes it, I have hidden your Word in my heart. I've hidden your word in my heart. And that doesn't just mean memorizing. Though it does mean memorizing. We have so abandoned this. Memorizing Scripture. Right? I know many of us think that we're too old to memorize. It's hard to memorize now. But I really commend to you, memorize a few verses a day. Memorize Scripture. There's something, not something, God has created us and His Word so that we must feed on His Word. And that God speaks to us and God blesses, God provides comfort and grace and direction and understanding of His will, and He provides change of heart and change of action and change of thinking through us reading and consuming His Word. And part of that is memorizing it, sticking that down in our brains. The stories you hear, right, of those who are imprisoned around the world in very oppressive countries where they're not allowed to have Bibles, right? And they pass around pages, individual pages of Scripture. They may have a few books of the Bible amongst a whole underground church. And they each get a page, and then they'll memorize it, read it, and then they pass it on to the next person, and then there's another page, and they'll read it, and memorize it. How many Bibles do you have? A lot. Right? And how often are we consuming this precious Word of God? Memorize it, but the psalmist is saying more than that here. Hiding the Word in our heart is such that we have so consumed the Word of God, we have so taken it into us, that we now live from that. That it's in our heart, and so it's what we do, it's what we think, it's how we speak. It's in line with, and not just in line with, but is actually the Word of God. How can we be pure? Live in and out of God's Word. Third, in verse 12, how can we be pure? Praise God. Praise. In the middle of the psalm here, the psalmist has one line here where he offers a praise to God in verse 12. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. Now we said this earlier also in the first part, the first stanza of Psalm 119 there. Connecting praising God with God instruct me. God teach me. It's a fascinating combination there. It's how the Scriptures laid out that we are called, we are commanded, we are built to praise God. And that in that process there, that there's something that we are taught, we are instructed, we are shaped by God's Word when we praise Him. Praise is so foundational to knowing God, to walking in God, to being holy, being made holy. Praise. Let us never neglect praising God.
4.
How can we be pure? Speak God's word. Let it come out of our mouths. Verse 13. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth, O God. So there's not just a reading activity here. There's also a speaking of the Word of God. I've read the Word of God. Now I'm going to remember it. I'm going to recall it. I'm going to speak it out loud, utter it out loud. Whether it's to other people as witnessing, or whether it's to yourself to just hear the Word of God spoken, whether it's to your family. You know, I really encourage you, encourage all of us, to find some way, some time, that in our family life together, the Scriptures are spoken out loud to one another. A very possible way, maybe a first step into that, could be at the dinner table. As you're having dinner, take your Bible out and have one of the people in the house, and maybe you rotate it each day, read a portion of Scripture from the Bible. Read it out loud while you're eating. Pass that around. Change that up. Whether it's a whole chapter or a whole passage there, work through the book of Mark. Take a couple weeks, a month or two, at the dinner table to do that. But read it out loud. And to yourself, as you study the Word of God, as you're reading the Word of God, many of us, we talk about how it's hard. Our minds get lost so easily nowadays, right? Absolutely. When you read it in the morning, when you're by yourself, read it out loud. It does wonderful things for keeping our attention and helping us to hear it and not just see it with our eyes. Read it out loud. That's what the psalmist did. That's what the mature follower of God did here. I recounted your words, your law, with my lips. 5. How can we be pure? We rejoice in God's Word. There's something we must... It's so easy, we must... let me try to speak in complete sentences. One thing that becomes very obvious as we read Psalm 119, really as we read many of the Psalms, is that the followers of God did not see God's Word as... Got to read my Bible. There was delight. There was joy in God's Word and in reading His Word. I am not denying that it's hard. I'm not denying that. I know that it is hard. But you are very capable people. You are very intelligent people. You read wonderfully. You can do it. You can. This week or last week, I forget which now, I was having a particularly difficult day. All the challenges piling on, and I was not seeing well. Just letting all of the stuff. I was negative. I was getting grouchy, and I wasn't down. All that. And I, by God's grace, had set aside some time in the afternoon. I read through Zechariah, next week, so I've been reading through it, and I read through Zechariah all in one sitting. Okay? And as I read that, I can't even necessarily describe specifically all that happened, but I'd say that in the process of reading God's Word, a joy came over me that I did not have beforehand. Now, that was hard. It is hard to read through the whole thing. It's not that long a book, but I have a very short attention span, and it can be challenging. But there was a joy, and I changed from the reading of the Word of God. In that moment, right there. And I know that. I know, without a doubt, that when I read my Bible in the morning and read a significant chunk of Scripture in the morning, I feel better. Now, it's not about how I feel. I'm always going to say that's what we should go on. But I know that, and yet, as I've shared with you guys for years, it's still a challenge for me every morning. What am I going to pick up first to read? Okay. but that there is joy. And the psalmist, the mature follower of God, says that he rejoices in God's word. And there's one other thing in here, in that sentence, in that verse right here, verse 14. He rejoices not just in God's word. What specifically, what specific activity does he rejoice in verse 14? In the statutes, yes, but that's another word for law. There's lots of words for law here. Roger, what was that? Following. Following. He says, I love obeying the Ten Commandments. I get delight, I get joy from following the Ten Commandments. Lord, what would you have of me today? Love my neighbor as myself? All right, let's go do it. And he gets joy in the activity of hearing God's commands and words and call and doing it. And we learned a lot of this when we were looking at 1 Peter a number of months ago. We went through 1 and 2 Peter there. We saw the call for all Christians to obey, to do God's will. And we were, you probably got sick of hearing me say it, right? We obey God not to be saved, but because we are saved, or when we are saved, we obey God. We obey God because He is a gracious, mighty, loving Father in heaven, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, calls us to believe in Him, and when we do, He forgives us, He wipes away our sins. Now what do we do? Thanks God, I got it from here. Dahlia, I'm going to go be doing some sinning over here, but I'll come back when I need some forgiveness. I'll see you later. No! God saved us? Father, I want to obey you. I want to do what you want because I love you, God. And the psalmist here delights in following God's word. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. If I told you ahead of time there were 7 points in this sermon, you would have left. 6. How can we be pure? Meditate on God's word. Verse 15. I meditate on your precepts and I consider your ways. Many of us, we read the scripture and we're just thankful to God we got through a passage of scripture that day. And we said, okay, close it on, and now let's turn on the radio, turn on the TV. It's great to have read it. God wants more for us. He invites us to come and think about His Word, to reflect on His Word, to let it roll around in us. This is such a key thing for us in our culture today. We have, this is, I know it's cliche, I know, I just sound like an old guy now talking, I'm sure. I guess I am an old guy talking, but that's besides the point. I sound like one too. We have so much information input. More than, so much more than we have in any other time in history. The amount of data that we have that comes into us in a day is astronomical. And because of that, we think about none of it. We have data coming in, but we don't process that data. We don't stop and think. And it makes us very ineffective. It makes us terrible knowers and doers of God's will. If we have read the Bible, have we reflected on it and dwelt on it? I would encourage you, I'm going to encourage you in a minute to consider reading through the Bible in a year. I would much rather have you take a year to read Philemon and to reflect on it every day, word by word, sentence by sentence, paragraph by paragraph. Meditate on God's word. And 7th, how can we be pure, holy walkers with Jesus? We can delight in God's word. Rejoice in it in verse 14 and verse 16. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. There's a pledge, there's a promise he's making there to take a delight in it. to not abandon it, to not leave it aside, that it is His joy. And knowing God's Word and obeying God's Word, this is how we are called to be pure, how the psalmist here calls us to grow in God. Part of how this is too is that we must remember when we're talking about the word, we're talking about the Scriptures here, okay? But we cannot separate it from God. On Christmas morning, we looked at John 1 that declares so wonderfully, Jesus is the Word. And in knowing God's Scripture, God's Word, we're knowing Jesus. We're getting to know Jesus. We're walking in Him. We're learning of Him. We're learning of His ways. We're learning to love Him and to trust Him and to obey Him and to speak of Him and pronounce Him and to worship Him. So I would encourage you this year to ask God what He would have you do with His Word this year. It might be to read through the entire Scriptures in a year. Now, who did that this past year? Who was able to grow? Yeah, the two. I know you guys did. You guys raise your hand. That's okay. Jane, wonderful, and excellent. I know that Jill and Jessica did. That's wonderful, guys. That's wonderful. Yeah, Hester, wonderful. Praise God. Praise God. I know it's this weird thing. It's like, I don't want praise, but I want, you know, whatever. But it's great. Good. Wonderful. Wonderful. Natalie Springsteen, a couple years ago, got a ton of these, and they're out on, I have some more here, and they're out on the table outside the sanctuary here. There's a little plan to read the Bible in a year. And this one is, it breaks it up chronologically. So sometimes it's out of the order you have it in your Bibles, but it tends to do it chronologically here. And it just has, I like it. It's a pretty simple reading plan. I really like it. You know, it's got, you know, 2 to 4 chapters a day. It kind of tells you what chapters to read, and then you can check it off. I also like this because if you happen to, you know, for whatever reason, you feel led by God to read another chapter or some chapters in the Bible that are not in order, you can go ahead and just check those off, too, so you can kind of keep track of it throughout the year, what you've read. Okay? So I can take them. They're free. Take them. Take a couple. Hand them out to folks if you'd like. It also could be wonderful for couples if you're reading these together. Or for families, can be wonderful because you're reading the same things together from the Scriptures. Oh, just think of the possibilities there, huh? It's wonderful. That's wonderful. You can Google too if you want different plans. There's lots of different reading plans. Some have you reading something from the Old Testament, something from the New Testament every day. Some have it break it up even more. Something from old, old from the prophets, from Psalms and from the New Testament. There's different kind of plans to break it up. I just encourage you to find a plan and to read and study and meditate and delight and take into your hearts the Word of God so that this year we may come back 12 months from now and say, it was a hard year and I grew in the Lord. I grew in the Lord. May God, by His power and Spirit working in us, give each and every one of us this year a new delight in His Word. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for Your Word. What a gift of love to us, O God, that we can know You. Father God, would You help us this year to know You more? Love You more and obey You more, to proclaim You more. I love what Rod said, that it'd be a good year for evangelism. Make it so, O Father God, in us. Let us be hearers and doers and tellers of Your Word. We ask this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.